step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. It's time to eat, drink, and be merry with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa. Today we're going to be talking about some absolutely exquisite wines, and they come from a very beautiful place, Mount Beautiful in New Zealand. And we want to thank travel writer Linda Kassam. You know her as a food, wine, and shopping diva here on Big Blend Radio, for introducing these wines to Nancy and I, and we get to introduce them to you. So we have Diva Linda on the show with us today, and also Robert Watkins, the CEO of Mount Beautiful Winery, Mount Beautiful USA, and Tees Family Vineyards and Farming Operation. And Robert gets to go between California and New Zealand all the time and, you know, represent really good wine. So he's got a great job. I encourage you to go to their website. It is mountbeautiful.com, and that's mtbeautiful.com. Welcome, Robert. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me. I very much appreciate it.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on the show. And Diva Linda, how are you doing?
I'm very, very good. We had a big rain in Arizona, and now it's over, and the sun is back, and the air conditioning's back on because it's warmed back up, so life is good.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Robert, I'm so excited about having you on the show because Nancy and I got to sip these wines and taste them, the Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, and the amazing Pinot. Was it the wine that got you to say, you know, almost 10 years ago, hey, I'm coming on board with Mount Beautiful? Was it the wine or how the sustainable practices are with the vineyard? Or was it that they weren't distributing it to America, right, at one point?
When I joined, they really had not, it was really, Mount Beautiful was in its infancy, so they were not distributing or even exporting to the U.S. It was basically just in New Zealand. And I had spent, you know, most of my career in Napa and Sonoma and was certainly looking for a change, and had actually never been to New Zealand. So I thought this is a time to make a move. And so that's what I did.
Right on. Cool. And it looks like a beautiful, beautiful destination too. So for our world travelers in the audience and anyone, you know, we've got audiences in New Zealand and Australia, South Africa, because those are all three good wine places in the world, that they should come out and they can actually visit the winery, right? And you've got a tasting room and a cafe and a gallery.
Yes, we've somewhat taken over the town. So we have a tasting room. We have purchased a restaurant. So we have our own restaurant now. We've just built a 6-bedroom luxury lodge. And then obviously we have a full facility and winery just outside of town.
Diva Linda, where's your next destination?
Yeah, really. Boy, I'm listening to this and wondering why in the heck I'm experiencing these wines on my boat. I mean, I need to get over there. I have not been to New Zealand. I got as far as Australia and did not make the jump over to New Zealand. So let's hope that Mount Beautiful, I'll talk to my rep, who is Susanna, and Mount Beautiful rep, and see if they have a press program. If they have a press program, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to have myself a very good time drinking wines at the source. They always taste better at the source, always. Yeah, always. Yeah.
Well, you did this on your boat. You had wine tasting on your boat in Europe, and what, you were in the Salish Sea this summer?
Yes. So Salish Sea is just the fancy name that not many people use for the Washington waters, Washington State waters, and up in the northern part. And then, so my husband and I spend about 6 months cruising Washington waters and then go into Canada. And during that time, that's the time that I do my tasting of my wines. And various companies, and Mount Beautiful is always one that I like to refresh myself with, because they are just they're just not snooty wines. They're really right. good wines, and the flavor profiles fit most everybody who comes aboard the boat or when I need to take wine someplace else. So I don't get a lot of, it just tastes like sticks and stones, or what were they thinking, making it too sweet or whatever. It just always is a really good thing to serve and a really good thing to bring. They're just, I don't know who's doing all this, but you know, they just keep getting better and better, because I think I've now been doing this for about 4 years, and
wow.
Gotta say, their wines are just improving and improving. Not that they need to improve, but they still are, and they're really, and the price points, of course, are just fabulous. You know, they're, most of them are under $20 US, and wow. there's a couple that are a little higher. That the special one that I just love, which is that Pinot or 10 barrel. I'd like to know the story of that. I'd really like to understand how that came to be, because that's really, really, really an exceptional Pinot, and I've tasted a lot, and I really like that one.
Yeah. You want to tell us, Robert, about the Pinot? Because I know we had the Pinot too, but I think it's going to be a different one than what you're talking about, Divalinda. We had the 2017 Pinot Noir, and that is
yummy.
My favorite, my absolute favorite wine this year. I said all the wines that we had, the 2016 Chardonnay, the 2018 Sauvignon Blanc, also nicely balanced and not overly sweet, and you know, just balance. And I think it's the minerality that really makes it, you know, amazing. But the Pinot Noir, I'm telling you, sitting outside at sunset in Arizona under the palm trees with the birds, you know, going to bed and chirping, that made me a very happy lady. And Nancy,
we just kept drinking.
I know, and we're like, we need more Pinot. So yeah, what's going on with the Pinot?
Well, the you know, as the vineyard starts to get some age, it starts to settle down quite a bit. So you start to learn every year. You learn something new about the vineyard, but particularly with the Pinot Noir, it does take a few years for it to get into its stride. And we tend to make in the winemaking, you know, in the winery, we'll make about 12 to 15 Pinots, and then we blend those together to get to the Mount Beautiful blend. Which actually we're going to do that. I'm headed there in a couple of weeks. So it'll be the first time we'll put together the 19 blends. But once we do that, then, you know, we don't use all the fruit that comes into the winery. We'll sell off what we don't think makes quite the cut for Mount Beautiful. But it is kind of a long process. But what you do is then get every year, those blends tend to get a little bit I don't know if better is the right term, but they tend to be a little more mature, and you get more really good blocks to work with. And so it becomes easier and easier over time. But the 10 barrel came about, it was the first time we thought we could pull out literally 10 barrels from the main blend without degrading the main blend at all. So, and we thought that these 10 barrels taken together made a quite unique, very kind of rich, deep, a lot of color, a lot of flavor blend. And I did struggle a little bit for the back label, so I ended up just putting all 10 barrels on the back label and just listing what they were and where they came from and age of the barrel and the clone. And so it was kind of a fun little project.
Wow. This is amazing, because, you know, when you think also how light it is, that's what is it. Did you find that too, Divalinda, how light it was? Wasn't like heavy.
Yeah, the one that you're talking about, yeah, was just, my thought about it, it had this black cherries and the really subtle tannins. I really like that a lot. I'm not a big proponent of large big tannins, but, you know, great length, persistent flavors, just all the stuff that you got to love. And, it's just an easy drinking wine, but I think it would go with so many. My 10 barrel, the one that I was my favorite of the 9 wines that I reviewed, was really, that one had, it's a step up, and it has more layers. It has layers And of course, it has that minerality, graphite, black cherry, orange rind. So their Pinot program really is exceptional. And like he said, as the vineyards mature, you get more and more flavors and so forth and so on. So I just really want to commend Mount Beautiful on not taking the easy step. And I'll tell you what the easy step is. The easy step is, in my opinion, I used to be the director of a wine region in California. And what happens is people come in and they say, oh, you know, I like dry wines, but they buy by far the most sweet wines. So some wineries get in the mindset of making more sweet wines or making their profile sweeter than the wine probably should be in order to sell more wine. So I'm really, really pleased with Mount Beautiful Wines because they didn't take that tact. Their wines are well balanced. They're not too sweet. They're not too tannic. You got a heck of a winemaker out there. You ought to be very proud of yourself.
Yeah. Robert, can you tell us a little bit of the backstory of the winery itself, and also David, because seeing you know David Teese, did he name it Mount Beautiful? Like the, I go on the website and everyone, you got to go to mountbeautiful.com. Just the MT though, mtbeautiful.com. It's so beautiful.
Well, the obviously we're owned by David Teese, who's a Kiwi and an economist who lives in Berkeley. It's pretty rare for an economist to start a winery. They should know better.
funny.
But you know, David really is he loves New Zealand, obviously, and we have a bunch of different things going on there and properties and grazing and you know, we do sheep and beef, and obviously the vineyard and winery are pretty close to his heart. But he lives here mostly in the States, and so he only comes out a couple times a year. So he definitely lets us get on with the tasks that we need to do pretty much on our own. So we have a lot of leeway to take the winery to the next level. And circling back to the Pinot Noir, in 2015, we built a brand new facility specifically for Pinot Noir, small lots. Our biggest fermenter is only 9 tons, and it goes down to, we even have a couple of 1-ton fermenters. So we really wanted to expand what we were doing with the Pinot Noir. We thought we were doing pretty well with the Sauvignon Blanc program, but the Pinot Noir really needed to step up. So $3.5 million later, we have a really nice Pinot facility that's constantly expanding.
Wow. You know, I don't think many people know how much it actually costs to invest in a winery. And then once you get the winery, then you take a look at it and you go, there's a lot of things we got to do here. There's a lot of personnel involved. There's a lot of just time. It's a very time consuming, adventure. But I don't know, somehow you get, and then you have a farm that's connected with it that's really, really quite amazing. I think let's talk a little bit about the Chardonnay. I'm not a Chardonnay person at all. I dislike Chardonnay. In fact, I usually don't order it. But I gotta tell you, it was one of the nicest ones that I've tasted in a while. It was fruit focused, which I like. So a lot of people like something that you know, that you can actually taste the flavors of the grapes. I think this was one of them. And they had lovely nuances, peach, nectarine. And for $22 or less, this is a really great Chardonnay. I'm telling you, people, you can use this at Christmas. You can use this at Thanksgiving. You can use it on New Year's, anytime, either as a present or as a compliment to your turkeys and so forth. And people who come to your house and say, oh, you know, I don't know about Chardonnay, you know, sit them down and give them a sip. You know, I think they'll be fans. Any of these wines, sit them down and give them, and they're going to, even the Pinot Gris, which is, you know, often of such a light wine, people don't get it. I don't know how you were able to, it's a little darker in color than most. How in the world did you ever get so much flavor in it? I'm just real surprised.
The Pinot Gris is actually a bit of a problem for us when it gets, it's so vigorous in the vineyard. So we have a hard time maintaining the, what they call the vigor in the canopy. And then, so we're constantly thinning the canopy and then we thin the fruit. And then we struggle to get, it ripens quite quickly from a brick standpoint, but from a physiological ripeness, it takes a little longer. And so we struggle a little bit with the alcohol in it, but it becomes a very almost decadent Pinot Gris, very heady, really tropical. We work quite hard at it, which you normally with Pinot Gris, you just kind of let it go. But it does require a lot of work on our part. But I agree, it's a pretty interesting wine for sure.
What was the first wine, the very first wine that was crafted?
The first vintage was 07, and 07 we just did Riesling. It was the first one to kind of come to a, usually there's a 3 year between planting and the first 3 or 4 years actually, but the Riesling was the only thing we did in 07, and then everything kind of came in 08 in various stages of quantity and quality, quite frankly. But but after that, everything, we made everything every year except for 2010. We didn't make a Pinot. We lost the whole crop to hail. So 2008, we would have made everything. We've made everything ever since.
What Sisters Ridge? I see Diva Linda has wine we didn't have. Nancy and I are jealous already.
She's in the know.
I know. Well, she is the diva for good reason. And when she says something is good, we listen because she knows. Sisters Ridge, tell us, is that your sister winery?
Sisters Ridge is what we would call a second label. We just do Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Noir in the Sisters Ridge range. And it's not necessarily, it's not a quality difference. It's a style difference. So Sisters Ridge, particularly the Sauvignon Blanc, would be a bit more Marlboro in style. So Mount Beautiful is quite different from Marlboro. It's still within the Kiwi Sauvignon Blanc box, but it's definitely pushing the envelope a bit, mainly because of low yields, very long lees contact, and quite late bottling on our the Mount Beautiful Sauvignon Blanc. Sisters Ridge is a little bit more fresher, brighter. We bottle it earlier. We don't do it every year, so it's sometimes there and sometimes it's not.
Wow.
Is that grass in between the vines? It looks like you have grass growing between the vines. I haven't seen that in other wineries.
Yeah, it'll be grass is. So there'll be a few things we'll add in there. And what you try to do is, and sometimes you alternate rows that you mow and somebody let grow. You're trying to regulate the competition for the grapes or the vines. So sometimes you want really heavy competition for water and nutrients to control vigor. Sometimes you want more of the those resources to go to the vines themselves. So it's always a bit of a strategy every year about what you're planting there. And some of it is also used for pest control, so that'll attract critters that you don't necessarily want in the vines, they'll go to the grasses in between.
So this is all part of the sustainable practices the sustainable practice that you have at the winery and keeping it, using nature.
Yeah, for us, most wineries in New Zealand are certified sustainable, and it's not just a kind of a rubber stamp. It is quite intense how they give you that every year. But as an industry, it's almost like screw tops. We've decided that we need to be sustainable on the world stage. And so, and for us at the Vineyard, we're sustainable, but we're also low impact as possible. So we really do as a minimal amount to the vineyard as we can. We don't do anything by root schedule. We spray when we need to. We do whatever we need to do just based on what the vineyard's telling us, not based on any kind of recipe.
Okay. That makes sense. And the soil, do you have a lot of lime, like limestone in there? Because of the Pinot to me, all the best Pinots I've had, they've got some really good minerals under the vines.
The main vineyard is mostly a windblown, what they call lurse, over the millennium that has kind of blown down from the hilltops. And then below that would be a clay layer, and then there's a gravel layer beneath that. It's a fairly good retention water, but the roots kind of got to get down to that clay level. So they're well established.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In a new vineyard we planted about 5 years ago now the eastern end of the property, borders along a limestone quarry. So there is more lime in that Pinot block.
Mm, interesting. I've got to ask Diva Linda. See, yeah, I always find that wineries, really good wineries, are near like mining towns, you know, like historic mining towns, like Julian in California. Suddenly, look at their Pinot, right? That we had.
Yep.
That was amazing. And so it's interesting to me about that connection, and also just even about, you know, not in the water part of it and everything. But Diva Linda, you had the rosé, and, you know, Nancy and I are jealous again, because it's really hard to get a good rosé, but I see rosés, it seems like, have been on the climb for the last 10 years. What was it like?
Well, I really enjoyed this one. It had a full round mouth and notes of pink grapefruit, cranberry, watermelon, what you would expect. But again, nothing that, you know, shouts at you. It's something that, they're elegant wines, you know, they're peaceful wines. They're not fighting with each other. The ingredients are not fighting with each other. I'd like to know, are you going to expand your rosé program? Was this 2018 one just an experiment? What are you going to do with that program?
I think our first rosé, I could be wrong, but I think it was 2016, and it really came out from, we had a new cellar master because we had a new facility, and it was actually our winemaker's son. And I wanted him to have kind of a project on his own. So I said, listen, rosé is yours. I want you to make it however you see fit, within a certain parameter of, you know, rosé is all about color and packaging. You know, if you get in trouble, you know, you can talk to your dad, but I really want your expression on the rosé. So that's how it originally started. And it's since grown from there. And we got serious enough about it that I redid the packaging with the 18. So I went to a kind of a sexier, rounder bottle, full branding on the capsule. But no, it'll always be part of our program. But you can get caught up in too many rosés in the marketplace, so we'll keep it under control on the quantity side.
And how many, what is your production on all wines together? Are you at how many cases per year?
Bottled, again, it's a little difficult to answer exactly because of the Sisters Ridge and the bulk component, but under bottling, you know, if we look at a normal bottling from Mount Beautiful, we'd be just about 30,000 cases.
Okay, and how much of that reaches the U.S.?
U.S. is our biggest market, so about 75% of our total production hits the U.S.
Wow, that's
Holy
amazing.
Cow.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh, you don't get... And where else does it go? What other markets are there? So the U.S.
Of course, we're in New Zealand, and then we also do the U.K. is our third largest market, and then Asia we do Singapore, Hong Kong, Macau. We're in Norway, Canada, but it's quite small. Once you leave the U.S., New Zealand, and the U.K., the quantities are quite low.
And people can buy right online. I was on there. I'm like, hello, everybody. I mean, a bottle of wine fits perfectly, you know, in a
holiday time.
I know, the Santa stocking, you know, and you want to go get the giant stocking so you can put lots of wine in there.
Actually, that for that's a really good idea. You know, for using these as a stocking stuffer. That's really good. Takes up a lot of room.
Well, then I'm going to bring back pantyhose for my stocking.
No, but we've got, so, you know, those who know that Nancy and I travel full time on our Love Your Parks tour, we have Priscilla the Pink Sock Monkey. Linda introduced us to Mr. Pete, and he is a sock monkey wine bottle cover. And so, you know, just saying, you got to protect the bottles. And so, you know, when you put that around it, then put it in the stocking, you know? So I think just protect the wine. You know,
I think we have a plan.
I want to be on the boat that brings it over and just float like you do with the wine. That's got to be magic to be out, you know. That's perfect.
Well,
go ahead.
What's interesting is on a boat, there are several compartments that are towards the bottom of the boat, or that's the best way I can say it, and perfect for storing wine. The temperature in the bottom of the boat beneath the floorboards is it's like a wine cellar. So the wines are just perfect when you pick them, when you take them out, you can drink them directly from there. Yeah, who knew?
See, that's why she has a boat. Now we understand the diva with the boat. And I think you could call it a yacht.
Yeah,
it's a floating wine cellar. It's not a boat.
It's a floating wine. Well, you should see these floorboards go all throughout the boat. I mean, they're in the bedrooms. They're under the main cabin area. They're because I don't know anything about boats except where you can put stuff.
You can float it with corks.
Just perfect.
It's just put corks around. You know,
have to protect them.
I love that cellar. That's what we'll call it, the WC, you know, the big WC.
Yeah,
most
boats have larger boats have a bar cabinet. Yeah, I guess cocktail cabinet, bar cabinet. But you can't put the wines where they have you putting them because the boats get to they're up towards the windows, as you can just imagine. You know, if you had your own bar cabinet in your own home, they'd be, you know, up against a wall or near a window, and it gets too hot. So you got to hide these wines until they're ready to come out. But they're perfect. They're just perfect wines, and that's a perfect place on a boat to put them. So we didn't have any spoilage whatsoever.
I want to take Mount Beautiful up on a hike with us with our Portovino, because
Absolutely. We
need to go up a mountain. See, because that's the other thing we do with our Portovino with the view. That's an actual story series we have where we take our Portovino backpack, you put your wine in it, and it keeps it cold.
Yep.
And you take it out of the bottle, you put it in that little wine baggie, and it will stay cold. And this is how we travel. Don't tell the cops. Don't tell the park police. But they can you can carry 1.75 liters in this baggie, and you take it up the mountain. So now, because we have our little silicone wine glasses. So it's, you know, we don't break glass in the park. And we go and find different views to enjoy our wine in parks and nature. And so now, I mean, we've done it in swamps, in bayous. You wouldn't believe where we've been this year with this wine thing. But now I'm like, I see a whole new thing about we need to be up with the mountain views, with Mount Beautiful wine. Nancy, I see a whole new thing.
So.
I see a whole new thing coming. I'm digging this, man. This is very, very cool. Before you both go, real quick question for Diva Linda. You know, Diva Linda is the president of the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association. Now, I know you've been floating with wine, but is it true that you earned your Margarita Trail t-shirt at the IFTWA conference in Santa Fe, New Mexico last week?
Yes, I did.
Good girl.
Yes, I did. I did. Who knew, right? Who knew that there was a Margarita? First of all, Santa Fe is a wonderful, New Mexico
Amazing.
Is a wonderful place to visit. But, and they were really smart. It's all about branding. You know, we're just talking about branding and how you brand bottles and all that stuff. And if you're a tourist destination, it's important to have not only your local sites and so forth, but to think about what else tourists would like to do. And the Margarita Trail, Santa Fe is a very small town, and they have 45 places that you can go and get specially crafted margaritas.
Awesome.
You have a passport.
Mm-hmm.
You have a passport, awesome. And the more you drink, the more stuff you get. So I got five while I was there, and you can apparently keep this forever. So I don't know. Maybe we need to have a Mount Beautiful passport. I don't know.
It's,
there you go. You
know, oh,
and asking you that before we go, I do want to know, who's your biggest distributor here in the U.S.?
So probably split between East Coast and West Coast. So West Coast would be Young's Market, and then on the East Coast, we're with Winebow.
Okay.
Mm.
So
okay.
This is important. Right. Talking about Santa Fe, can we recommend restaurants get Mount Beautiful wine and say, call them up, you know, and that's where, because that's how we get our passport going. Because we travel the country,
you know?
We want to eat it out and drink it out in nature, and then we want to drink it inside at a restaurant, right?
Yeah, we'll meet you down there. We'll bring all the toys.
Cool.
Talk about that. So in 2020, you'll need to come to our conference in Fort Lauderdale.
Beautiful.
You should give a seminar or something and introduce your wines to everybody there, to all the writers there.
Cool.
That's a good idea. Don't
I'm
you
coming
think?
Then.
That would be
there great. We go. You bring your wine. I'm there. I'm sorry.
Hope they have some kind of rum-based cocktail trail down there. We haven't figured this out yet, but boy, that would be fun.
Oh,
right. Well,
and
very
you have
good.
The Everglades.
Very
You've
good.
Got to do a Portovino with the view in the Everglades when you're there, so you can sip with the alligators, right?
Yeah.
Had wine with water snakes in Arkansas.
Yeah, we did.
It was so cool.
You guys are hardcore.
Yeah, we're crazy.
Yeah.
And where you were in Santa
it was
Fe,
fun.
You went to Bandelier National Monument. So we snuck wine, and don't tell anybody, we snuck wine. And so we sat in the cliffs and we toasted the ancestors. And then we went on another part of the trail and we sat in the shade with the little
that
creek.
That is something else, because that Bandelier National Park is
special.
Amazing. I mean, it's just, there's just a whole thing about it spiritually, physically, you know, everything. But I don't know. I would think it would be a good place to sip Mount Beautiful wines and, as you say, toast the ancestors.
That's
a good one. That's very good. Absolutely.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of toasting, I'm going to have to do this. So I have to ask you all this question. I love this question for happy hour. Is you're going to take a bottle of Mount Beautiful wine and you're going to go somewhere special. We want a view, okay? And you're going to take somebody special with you, because this is all supposed to be really a beautiful, special moment. So, Diva Linda, where are you going? Which wine and with whom? Anyone, alive or passed on?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you've caught me. You know what? I think I'm going to take my sister, who always says she doesn't like wine.
Oh.
I'm gonna share the Riesling, because I think
she needs
to appreciate what good wine is all about. I'm gonna take my sister and we're going to I don't know, where can we go? We can go up to the top of Mount Beautiful Winery with all the sheep and the
Ooh.
Vineyards and the beautifulness and talk about our long, long history together. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I like that. What about you, Robert?
Oh, that's a good one. I can actually say I'm going to do that for real here in a couple hours.
No.
So my wife and I are going to head to the top of, we're in Lake Tahoe right now, so we're going to go up to the top of Mount Talek, and I'll make sure I take my bottle of Mount Beautiful in my 750 milliliter metal container, and we'll toast it from there.
I love this. I love this. Nancy, where are you
guys
going?
Prepared?
Well, I guess I would have to get a lot more Portovinos and fill them all up. And then I'll just have to have a party somewhere. Let's see. Where are we now? We could just get one of those rubber dinghies, go down the Colorado River and drink wine.
Which one do you want? The Chardonnay or...
I want one of each. That's why I want so many Portovinos.
Oh, wow. I said one bottle, you know, but that didn't work. Off she goes.
Yeah, no. Hey,
you're
going to
end up in Mexico.
I know, and I think that's exactly what would happen. Are you going to come with me?
Sure. Why not? I'll, you know, toast everybody. I think I want to go back to Louisiana, to Kisatchie National Forest, and go back to the what they call the little Grand Canyon of Louisiana. And it's the only national forest in the state. And I want to go back on the Longleaf Vista Trail because we got caught in a really nice tropical, not tropical, but storm. It was awesome. And we did have wine up there, but now I want Mount Beautiful because you hike up this butte, a big, beautiful butte, but it's really not that big. It's like going up a flight of stairs. And that is the highest point of Louisiana. And so I want to go back to the highest point of Louisiana. And I think, actually, you know, I love the Pinot Noir, but I think I'd take the Sauvignon Blanc because it was really hot and humid when we were there. And so that would be nice and refreshing. So
even though we were hiking in the hailstorm, that was really awesome.
See, it was.
It was bizarre.
Yeah. So,
and I want to remind everybody to try the rosé with your ham, either at Christmas or New Year's. Rosé is so good with ham, any kind of ham. It's just it's a beautiful pairing. And the Sauvignon Blanc, of course, goes beautifully with your turkey. So, and then the Pinot, the 10 barrel would be really good if you have a roast beef. It'll just be excellent.
Wow. Wow, this is exciting, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us, Robert. I hope you enjoy a good hike up the mountain with your metal container of wine, Mount Beautiful wine.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. A lot of fun and, you know, good luck and going forward and have a great holiday season.
You too. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
It's mountbeautiful.com and that's mtbeautiful.com. Also, you can keep up with Diva Linda. Go to allingoodtaste.info. She also has her tasting notes on, do you want to give everybody, it's the PNW Tourist. Is that the right, have I got the right one? Diva Linda?
Yes. It's PacificNorthwestTourist.com. Yeah.
Okay.
PNWTourist.com. Yeah.
Okay, so that's where you can go. And then everyone also, thank you for joining us here on Big Blend Radio. Keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We air Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. So through all kinds of outlets. So it's all listed there. And we want to close the show with a beautiful song just for Mount Beautiful Winery. This is called High on the Mountain. And it's by Shelley King.
All right.
Shelley King's fan faves album. She is a first lady of music in the state of Texas. So she's a state musician. And you can go to her website, shellyking.com, because toast to you, Shelley, because she's got a brand new album coming out, and we're going to get her back on the show real soon. So take care, everybody. Happy holidays.
Well, I knew there'd come a day when all the clouds would go away. Sun would light my way, and I believed it. I knew there'd come a time when I could find some peace of mind. So I left my cares behind and I believed it. The breeze through the trees by my window called my name. So I left with a candle and I followed the flame. And I'm high. Dream.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.